Greetings. Thank you all for returning. We extend a warm welcome to all our new listeners here for the first time. I am Pastor John, welcoming our global audience of unchurched, self-study people, as well as those who are part of a church. For anyone looking for greater depths in God's Word, thank you all for listening. May you all be blessed of God. Last week, we asked the question, how can mankind make a way of atonement that is every bit as pleasing to God as his own means of human atonement? When we were sinners, we were without strength in regard to the case which the apostle was considering. We have no power to advise a scheme of justification. We have no power to make an atonement. We especially have no power to put away the wrath of God. Only by receiving Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, by asking him to forgive us our sins, then the most ample proof is understood that God would save us by giving us his Son to die on the cross while we were still sinners. Clearly, even more so, if we are unsaved in Christ, we are without strength. The strength needed to be as we are when we are saved by Christ. A quote from Barnes' New Testament Notes tells us something mankind seems often to forget in this endeavor to find a place with God without salvation. Quote, we have no power to devise a scheme of justification to make an atonement or to put away. To find out more, listen to our previous episode titled The Expectation of Justification, Part 3, posted on March 3rd. This week, our study is titled The Amplification of Justification, Part 1. Our scripture reads, so then, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and so death spread to all people because all sinned. For before the law was given, sin was in the world. But there is no accounting for sin when there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who did not sin in the same way that Adam, who is a type of the coming one, transgressed. But the gracious gift is not like the transgression. For if the many died through the transgression of the one man, how much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, multiply to the many? And the gift is not like the one who sinned, for judgment resulting from the one transgression led to condemnation, but the gracious gift from the many failures led to justification. For if, by the transgression of the one man, death reigned through the one, how much more will those who received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. From Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 17. In this passage, we have one verse we want to make specific note. However, we will start at the beginning for that to make better and fuller sense to us. Verse 12 and 13 are one sentence in my Bible. Nonetheless, we will examine both halves of this sentence independently. Verse 12 reads, so then, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and so death spread to all people because all sinned. the doctrine of original sin is not more difficult to understand than it is necessary to be known. The apostle here declares the manner how sin and death entered the world, namely, by the fall of Adam, the first man. By one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Note 1. An unhappy parent, namely Adam. By him, sin entered into the world. 2. An unhappy posterity, namely the whole world, proceeding from and coming out of the loins of Adam, in whom all have sinned. 3. An unhappy portion, sin and death. Sin entered by Adam, and death entered by sin. This was the legacy which Adam left to all his posterity. Now, the sad and mournful truth which the scripture contains is this, that our first parent, by his transgression, has entailed a miserable inheritance, an unhappy portion of sin and death upon all posterity. Adam's sin becomes ours. From Expository Notes with Practical Observations on the New Testament by William Burkett. We should note first what this first segment of verse 12 tells us. So then, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin. Sin has a result. That result is death. Because people die every day, we are reminded of this consequence of sinful life constantly. Yet, since death is a mournful subject, many people prefer to look away and not see it unless it has happened to someone who is a family member or good friend, sometimes even a co-worker. Even if one is saved in Christ, one is still going to die. So you may wonder what the real point is here. This present body of ours cannot be received into heaven. So, as the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, verses 35 through 58 tells us, we need and will get a new, pure, eternal body, a perfect body not corrupted by sin. Simply put, we have inherited a sinful way of life through Adam as well as a corrupt body. The death that now comes upon men and women of flesh and bone is the result of sin. Adam and Eve were perfect human beings until sin entered their bodies and the end result of death was realized. Again, verse 12 opens with, so then, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin. Death is a result, not an additional issue, of which many people believe it is. Despite what is believed, death is the result of a sinful life in a sin-stained body. The only way to avoid that permanent eternal death is to be saved by Jesus Christ. This is that two-state issue I mentioned in a previous podcast in this total series. The two states being an eternal damned end to life or a glorious eternal life with no death ever again. Further, Scripture tells us if we are saved in Christ and we die before He comes for us, our Bibles tell us though we are in a grave, we are asleep in Christ, not dead as sinners. Our Bibles tell us that those who sleep or are dead in Christ will rise first. From our commentary passage, we have three references for the unhappiness that sin causes. Looking closer, we find 1. An unhappy parent, namely Adam. By him, sin entered into the world. When this became clear to Adam, how could he be happy knowing what he had done? Knowing that all who would further come into this world would be in this fallen, sinful state, thanks to him. 2. Unhappy future generations, or an unhappy posterity, namely, the whole world, proceeding from and coming out of the loins of Adam, in whom all have sinned. It is a not so well studied aspect of sin, how sin is generational, better known as generational sin. The only bright light in this is that Scripture tells us we are not held accountable for our sinful state until we reach the age of accountability. Unfortunately, the age of accountability is different for every person. Our Bibles do not give us a firm age when we cross that line. Know certainly that all people of adult age are of the age of accountability. 3. An unhappy portion. Sin and death. Sin entered by Adam, and death entered by sin. This was the legacy which Adam left to all his posterity. This means, no matter who you are or where you live, you are a sinner if not forgiven by Christ and having received him as your Lord and Savior. Despite all of this in Adam's sin-stained life, he lived 930 years. See Genesis chapter 5, verse 5. The human lifespan has been regressing ever since Adam. Human intelligence has also regressed in many ways as well. Sure, we are making incredible things these days, yet a very large number of them pollute our world when they are made, when used, and subsequently when they decay and are thrown away. However, the Roman columns on buildings were handmade, and those columns were wider in the middle than at the ends. They were made also of several pieces stacked on top of another. The question that no one, even today, cannot answer is, how did they do that so well with hand tools? The column pieces stacked so expertly that one cannot tell the columns are made of pieces, not one large piece of stone. This means our own human history shows the decay of sinful mankind and the world mankind lives in. I will stop there, for I have digressed a bit, but it all fits well and should be duly noted. The second half of the sentence is found in verse 13, which reads, "For before the law was given, sin was in the world, but there is no accounting for sin when there is no law." The apostle, having asserted the doctrine of original sin in the former verse, he prosecutes and pursues it in this and the following verses, asserting that it is evident all have sinned, because sin was always in the world, not only after the giving of the law by Moses, but also before, even from the beginning of the world to that time. As if the apostle had said, there was certainly a law given before there was a law written, a law given to Adam, before a law written by Moses. Now this law was either the law of nature written in Adam's heart, or the positive law of God given to Adam, against which law men were capable of offending before the law of Moses was written. Otherwise, sin would not have been imputed to them, for sin is not imputed where there is no law. From Expository Notes with Practical Observations on the New Testament by William Burkett. Notice this comment of William Burkett. It is evident all have sinned because sin was always in the world, not only after the giving of the law by Moses, but also before, even from the beginning of the world to that time. Remember the serpent in the Garden of Eden? The one who tempted Eve to do what God had said not to do, namely, eating of the forbidden fruit. That was the one and only law stipulated by God. We should also note that sin was in the world before Eve was tempted because the evil, tempting serpent was there. This particular presence of sin did not corrupt the perfection of God's creation at this time. Only when Eve sinned, followed by Adam, did sin gain a controlling power in the world. This corrupted not only Adam and Eve, but the whole world and all those that would be born, even born today. Further, there was certainly a law given before there was a law written, a law given to Adam before a law written by Moses. Simplifying this, there was certainly a law given before there was a law written, a law given to Adam. This means that when Adam and Eve were told not to eat of the fruit, God had forbade a law not written with pen and paper, which had been made to Adam and Eve by God. Not eating of this forbidden fruit was the means of obeying the law. This was done before the law was written by Moses. This law written by Moses is the first five books of the Bible containing more than 600 commandments for obeying God. As one can clearly see, mankind has never been able to remain sinless even with only one law of not eating the fruit on a tree in the Garden of Eden. So, it should be realized that we are weak and cannot resist sinning no matter how much a person might try to not engage in sinful behaviors. God having created man a rational creature capable of moral government is by immediate resultance his king and governor, and has ruled him from the beginning by a law, yet not barely by a law, but by a covenant with promises and threats annexed, rewarding him for his obedience and punishing him for his rebellion. From Expository Notes with Practical Observations on the New Testament by William Burkett. We should note that this commentary passage covers all time thus far. However, most important to our study is that God having created man a rational creature capable of moral government is by immediate resultance his king and governor, and has ruled him from the beginning by a law, yet not barely a law, but by a covenant. Notice, quote, a law, end quote. Not 10 or even 600 plus, just one law or covenant. As simple as that should have been, Adam and Eve failed. Notice further, when there is no law, because sin is a transgression of a wise and good law. It follows that there was such a law binding on men before the time of Moses, and before any written revelation of the will of God was made to men. There was a law given to Adam from the mouth of God, by the violation of which sin entered, and death by sin. There was a law, too, written upon the hearts of all men as moral beings. Of course, there could be, and there was, transgression, violation of law. This was proved by the fact that there was death as universal as after the giving of a written law by Moses. From Family Bible Notes from the Nazarene Users Group. As Family Bible Notes points out, there was a law written upon the hearts of all men as moral beings. This single law, covenant, was given to Adam from the mouth of God. Violation of this law is how sin entered the world, and death entered by sin. As we previously noted, Adam lived to be 930 years old. This means we have a life before us in which we have a certain number of days to realize we need to repent and seek forgiveness of our sins. Not coming to this conclusion or outright refusing to repent is how we die eternally. When we leave this life, it is to eternal death instead of eternal life in heaven with God. We change this by simply receiving Him as our Lord and Savior. Verse 14 reads, "Yet death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who did not sin in the same way that Adam, who is a type of the coming one, transgressed." Who is a type of the coming one? How is Adam, a man who could not abide by a single law or covenant, a type of the coming one? The general design of the parallel drawn between Jesus and Adam appears to be to show that the redemption by Christ was not a mere Jewish redemption. The counterpart and consummation of the Mosaic law, as the Jewish Christians were prone to consider it, but that it had far wider connections and bearings. It was the counterpoint and remedy for evils introduced by Adam and affecting the whole human race. And as the consequences of his transgression brought spiritual ruin and death upon all nations, even though they had not, like Adam, sinned against a revealed law, the remedy, now at the length provided, must not be limited to the Jews, but must be regarded as coextensive in its applicability with the ruin which it was intended to repair. If, through the greatness of the divine displeasure against sin, the transgression of Adam, the head and in some sense the representative of the human family, was allowed in its results to involve all his descendants in ruin, much more would God, who is more ready to pardon than to punish, give to the offers of salvation by Christ a similar extension. This general idea is expressed in various forms in the verses which follow, but with a certain degree of reserve and indirectness in all, prompted, apparently, by a desire which the apostle had manifested already in other cases, not to come too abruptly into collision with the prejudice of the Jews. From John S.C. Abbott and Jacob Abbott, Illustrated New Testament, 1878. We should note from this commentary passage this portion. The remedy now at length provided must not be limited to the Jews, but must be regarded as coextensive in its applicability with the ruin which it was intended to repair. If through the greatness of the divine displeasure against sin, the transgression of Adam, the head, and in some sense the representative of the human family, was allowed in its results to involve all his descendants in ruin, much more would God, who is more ready to pardon than to punish, give to the offers of salvation by Christ a similar extension. Now, digging deeper, notice this phrase. God, who is more ready to pardon than to punish. This means there is no sin except one that he cannot and will not forgive. There are some especially ugly sins in this life that other human beings cannot forgive of people. However, God can and will forgive every sin except blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Scripture is quite clear on this issue. In closing, we should note both contrasts and analogies answer the purpose intended, namely, to show that salvation by Christ was correlative to the ruin of the fall, and so coextensive with it in respect to its influences, being intended to afford the offer of salvation to the whole human family. This means salvation for us is available to both Jews and Gentiles, Gentiles being all who are not Jewish by birth. For more on how to be saved, listen to our second podcast titled, How to Be Saved. A convenient link to this episode is in all episode notes. Next week, our episode is titled, The Amplification of Justification, Part 2. We should note that, for in the many died through the transgression of the one man, how much more did the grace of God and... To find out more, join us next week. Play or download our episodes from one of our podcast hosts, or follow direct links to these platforms on our website under the podcast menu item. Details follow. All Bible quotes without a citation are from the New English Translation Free Version. We greatly appreciate our audience. We look forward to the return of our faithful listeners, followers, and new listeners. Thank you all so much. We are very pleased to serve a diverse international audience. Please share our podcast with family, friends, and others you believe would find it a blessing. This study podcast is a wholly self-funded outreach presented by the Church of the Unchurched. We are an all-electronic, Boston-based outreach uniting the community of lost, searching, lonely, and forgotten in Christ. If you are visiting for the first time, welcome and God bless you. If you are unsaved, we truly hope you find God as well as receiving Him as Lord and Savior of your life. Please find a short link to our episode titled, How to Be Saved, at the bottom of any episode description. To learn more about us and who we are, give our episode titled, Introduction, About Us, Who We Are, a listen. In that episode, you will learn more about us, who we are reaching out to, our mission, vision, ministry, and more. Again, a short link to this episode is found at the bottom of any episode description. Find our website at https://thechurchoftheunchurched.org. Please type The Church of the Unchurched as a single word with no hyphen or spaces in unchurched. Also, because we are on a very secure European server, be sure you type the lead https://, as it is required. Be sure you include it in any bookmark you make. This will prevent security load errors. Our site is mobile, tablet, and desktop compliant. Our site also has links to many of our podcast platforms under the podcast menu item. We are found on podcast platforms like iTunes, Google Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, and Spotify, to name a few. We refresh our feeds with every weekly episode upload on Sundays, East Coast Time, USA. These sites update our feed within 24 hours of our refresh. Our RSS feed is syndicated on many popular podcast RSS feed platforms. Find us on a preferred platform to follow us as we continue to grow. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Romans chapter 8, verses 38 through 39. Until next week, this is Pastor John for the Church of the Unchurched.